Well, glory to God. This morning we're going to head in a little different direction. We're going to be talking about the areas of prosperity. And as we go into this subject, one of the things is God's been dealing with me for a while about this, but there comes a time, you know, really to speak about it. I'm not, as people would say, per se, I totally believe in prosperity, but I'm not a prosperity preacher. I don't think that's the only subject in the Bible. Is because number one is to prosper. I watch people prosper in certain areas of their lives, but have great neglect in the other areas of their lives that they don't prosper. It's number one. It's like most Christians, I wish they'd prosper more. On the average, you look at Christianity, ought to prosper more in their life and overcoming sin. It'd be good if they got a great understood how to overcome in those areas. So that's areas of your life that you prosper in, because it's a great benefit to you in other areas of life, not just in that. You know, it isn't, we're not trying to do the law. See, in whatever we do, you know, people always think all things are, you know, possible, you know, to him that believeth. And then people say, all things work together for good to those who believe God. Well, the things of God, not everything you do is going to work good for you if you're doing the wrong things. But all the things of God work together. I always like that. You take that statement. Everything of God. There's no subject in the Bible that is to itself. Everything affects something else. It's a life that we live. We live a life of faith. It's a walk of faith. So everything in my life I'm supposed to be living, no matter what it is in my life, in areas of faith. And that, and the following those, faith worketh by love. So number one, if you're going to have a really decent faith life, you're going to have a love life. You're going to have that. You can't get away from it. And so if I'm going to have every area of my life, I'm going to walk by faith in. So then faith contacts into every one of those areas. So those areas are tied together. Everything's tied up. So we're going to look at prospering. We're going to deal with the areas, really, in the area of prospering finances. But you're going to find that many of these principles work together in other areas of your life, too. So it's not just in this area. And to prosper doesn't mean just to get money. You know, there's things God wants to bring to you. There's stuff that God wants to do to bring into your life. Hallelujah. And so we want to look at this area. I'm starting into an area today that I had no plan in going into as I had put things together, was looking through, studying, listening to the Lord, praying about this. And then the Lord spoke to me yesterday, sort of just changing the direction, something I was going to do later on, but we're going to head into. If you remember the last couple Sundays, Mike made mention of 3 John, the 2nd chapter. And I want to go there to, it's the 1st chapter, 2nd verse, excuse me. There's only one chapter in 3 John. So I want us to go there. And the scripture that he used is a very important scripture. There's a lot more to this scripture sometimes than we talk about. And there's some areas that we want to look at here. And this is that John is writing to an elder, his name's Gaius, and he was an elder and a friend. John knows him. John knows his condition and what he's like, his soul's like. So John must know this man pretty well. John says concerning, he's writing to this individual, and he says to this person, he says, in the 2nd verse of 3rd John, he says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers." Now I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers." And I want to talk about this because when we go over to prosperity, number one, I titled this thing here, "Does God want you to prosper?" Now all of us here would probably say yes to that. We say, "Oh yeah, God wants us to." But you know, we need to understand this. One of the reasons I use this is because people say, "I believe God wants me to prosper," yet most people are not prospering like they'd like to. So there's one thing about, you can make this statement, but do you really know what it means? Do you really understand what the Bible's saying about it? Do you really understand what God... See, to you, prosperity and me, prosperity might be two different things. There's many people that, you know, people say, "Well, God wants you to prosper spiritually." Well, they'll throw that thing out there. I see people believe in spiritual prosperity, but they have lousy lives. And they don't prosper in their life. Say, I don't believe in spiritual prosperity and it don't work out in your life. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe that God gives you things spiritually and they don't work for other things. What's the point of it? I just tell him to keep it till I get to heaven and we'll find out about it. I don't need it here. Why waste my time on what don't work? Spirituality will change your life. Amen. And see, we need to understand that there's God wants to bring revelation to all of us. And this is the whole point of this teaching, is to bring revelation to you, to that you can measure up against God's plan and God's purpose to see, am I looking at prosperity right? Am I going as far as God will allow me to go? Or can I go further? Can I do? You need to know that. And see, along the way, we're going to talk about today because, you know, God dealt with me with some things that we're going to talk about this later, but He told me to talk about this today. So, your soul prospers. In other words, you know, our prosperity and our health are tied to our soul development, to your mind, will, and emotions. How you think, how you respond to things emotionally, how you deal, all of that is tied to whether we can fulfill the Word of God. See, I know people, they believe certain things are right, but they don't ever get their emotions under control. They don't get certain thoughts under control. So therefore, even though they see what God has, they can never attain it. And they get, yeah, I tell you, that's frustrating. That's frustrating if you can't. You know, the biggest thing, Kenneth Hagin said this, and I'm just going to tell you, it's true, and you need to deal with this about yourself. The number one need of the church is a renewed mind. Your number one need is a renewed mind. Your number one need isn't getting a Republican in office. Your number one need is, because why? He can't do nothing anyhow if you're a nut.
Amen. Preach.
If you can't follow God, if you can't walk with God, you can't get God involved in stuff. See, that God can get more involved into my life, the more I change the way I think that I can yield to my inner man. The guy here that's hooked up with God? See, I don't care how saved you are, you can be blocking everything God wants to do in your life.
Amen.
Why? By the way you think. And see, when we think about prosperity, it's number one, prosperity's been taught wrong, done wrong, a lot. People have truths, part truths, but not the whole truth. And they gave part truths, and sometimes just to what would satisfy their need. They didn't do it by love. They did it by their needs. See, many people are just moved by their need. You know, it's one thing I found out. When I was a young Christian, that's what I was moved by, my need. But see, as a baby. If most of your Christian life and prosperity is all about your need, you've never grown up. You're still a baby.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, you're a baby.
Amen. That's right.
You're a baby. That's the way little babies are. They ain't interested that you didn't get sleep last night. Baby Christians have no interest if anybody else got theirs or whatever they're supposed to have. They only care about their needs.
Preach.
We just starting this thing off great already. See, but we're talking about this one thing. See, we got to grow up. If you ain't going to grow up, this teaching ain't going to do you no good.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, it ain't going to do you no good. It won't do you a bit of good. God won't be able to do. See, we need to get this down, and this is what we need to start telling people this stuff, because people aren't telling it. You can't turn on the TV preacher and him tell this stuff. He ain't telling it because they quit sending checks if you tell them. The babies all get upset.
Amen. Preach.
Oh yeah. The babies quit sending checks. Hey, the grown-ups don't. No matter what happens, the grown-ups keep doing it. But and you know what? Play to the babies. Why? Because the majority of the church is babies. And that's where they get the majority of their money. Telling babies it's all going to be all right when it ain't. Amen. Telling babies it's going to work when it don't.
Amen. Preach.
Woo! My God, this guy's on fire. But I want you to know this. There is a blessing to walk in, a place of peace and joy
Amen.
With God.
Thank you, Lord.
And we want to lead people to it.
Amen.
They ain't going to be happy playing out there. You know, you get tired of the playpen. You get tired of looking over the playpen and watching the grown-ups having all the good time.
Amen.
See, when I looked over there, when I started off, I said, man, these people are blessed over there. I want to get out of here to there. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We have baby playpen ministries in churches today. It's all designed for it, to keep people in the playpen. And you don't want anybody to grow up, because if somebody grows up, the people want to get out of the playpen and the pastor will have to grow up.
Amen.
Well, we're going to get out of here from this day. So you can't have that. See, I've been around pastors and got upset over things of people left their church. A neighbor, a playpen ministry, and they're mad because people went to another church. And I said, praise God they left him.
Amen.
I didn't tell it to them to their face because they're too stupid. They'd have just got mad about it anyhow. I almost said it to a pastor who had 3,000 people, got upset because a bunch of people left his church. And I could just tell him, you're the problem he left. And he said, this other guy took my people, and the other guy didn't take. God told me. God said they wanted something more, and I sent him a man who would give them more.
Amen.
God ain't interested in half these ministers and what they're doing. Amen. They think this is all about them. This ain't my church. Ain't ever been.
Amen.
Jesus, every once in a while, gets to be ahead of a church somewhere. Every once in a while it happens. Hallelujah. And you want Jesus because Jesus wants you blessed.
Amen.
Jesus wants you blessed. He wants you to be able to fulfill your heart's desires.
Amen.
Do you really know what your heart's desire? See, most people only know what their emotional, their mental thoughts, that's their desires. They don't realize in their heart, there's things that are longing in their hearts, if they ever got them fulfilled, they'd never be so happy. It's the first thing coming in their life, of peace and joy and rest. See, if you're not a place in your life of peace and joy and rest, then I know this, you're living out of your head.
Amen. Preach.
I'm in the same world you are, and I'm at rest. I'm at rest. Hallelujah. And it costs nothing tries to happen. Comes knocking on the door all the time. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, I ain't got the twitch no more. It don't matter. Hallelujah. I gave up the twitch.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You want to come to that place. See, growing up, you need that. See, that's one thing. It's just like in a home, the security. When I was growing up as a kid, my parents, they weren't nutty people. There was a stability there in our house. And there's one thing. See, they never got nuts over the troubles in life. We know we could rely on them to take care of us, them to look out for. As kids, you're growing up in that safety. We don't have that in the church anymore. The ministers are as nutty as anybody in the pew. They're doing stuff. You got to be at rest. There's no other way. Because I don't care. You're not going to, if you can't be led by your inside where the Holy Ghost lives, you're never going to come to the place of prosperity or health or anything you want. You must be led by the Spirit. You cannot rely on a man to give you what you need. I don't know everything. Like today, I can't tell where each one of you are thinking about prosperity, how you think about prosperity. I don't know. You're going to have to know. You have to come to the place of where you know where you're at. And that's where the Holy Ghost. I found this out. We're going to talk about today because the Lord dealt with me about this thing. Is people having encounters with God about prosperity. It's one thing to be taught in the Word. It's another thing. God dealt with people. You know, we have with Kenneth Hagin. God dealt with him where he was at on prosperity. God specifically spoke to him and dealt with him where he was at. And dealt with him how to get out of it. Now, other people may not have been in his spot, but in his spot. Randall Greer talked about the fact he had the same thing. He was dealing with a problem. God dealt with him personally about where he was. God dealt with me personally about where I am. You need to have some experiences with God, folks.
Amen.
Quit looking for a book to read about somebody else's experience all the time. You have an experience.
Hallelujah.
If you ain't going to have one, see, I need a, number one, I saw this happening. See, you got to understand what God's starting to speak about. See, and we're going to go back into the areas of, back to 2014. Actually, the period of time before that, I was attending Randall Greer's meetings. I'll do like 3 or 4 times a year. I go to different meetings that he holds, and which are really good because God speaks to me at these. I go to these things, and God, see, I don't go just get teaching from him. The atmosphere, you go sit there, and God will get you over and start teaching you things. Well, I noticed this for about 3 to 4 years before that. He kept over talking about certain things of finances and stuff. In fact, he had, there's a minister in Canada who was out of India, who was a Brahmin priest who got born again, who lives in Canada now. Guy was as poor as dirt. I mean, literally as poor as dirt. Today he's a multimillionaire and stuff. He has a church, big church and stuff in Canada, and I'm sure they don't like him up there because he preaches. But he had him talk about finances and about how God blessed him, what he came from. You know, the first thing he ever had took him 3 days. He fasted and prayed for 3 days, and he got himself to the point he believed God for a dollar. See, we got all these people out here today, and you're trying to never believe God for nothing. Most people live off their paychecks or whatever else they have coming in, and they talk about faith, but have never really entered into it. It's good preaching, folks.
Amen. Great preaching.
They haven't entered into it. And we need to understand this. And we're going to teach you. Because see, God spoke to me about these things because he was dealing with me. And so I was questioning God about certain things. And in that period of time, one of the things that Randall Greer put a thing out and said there that the Lord spoke to him and told him that financially that whoever was in his boat, God said he'd take care of them. And I started to pray about that. I started to talk to God. Well, see, I want to know if it said, you know, I don't care. Too many people, you know, I want the prophets going to say all the nice stuff. Well, number one, I want to know if the nice stuff's true. People don't pray. They take it just because he said it. Oh, we've missed so much on this stuff because we never prayed 2 seconds about it because my favorite preacher said it. And have followed after it like a bunch of sheep to the slaughter. Well, and I spent time with it, and I got witness. God said that. So I took it and stood on it. See, at that time, Wanda and I, in our financial condition, we were in a position, we're moving to make changes. We want to step in. We wanted to step into something great. I wanted to step into something greater. See, you know, you're just sort of living at that spot. You just know there's a place to go, but you ain't got there. You just know that there's something, and you don't have it.
Amen.
And I wanted to go something higher. I wanted to go to something higher, and I wanted to know about what. And you know, I said to the Lord, well, you told me that if I'm in his boat, I'm going to be all right. So I said, you're going to have to do something. I'm in the boat. I'm in the boat. You told me that if I'm in the boat, here we are. I'm in the boat. Now, well, in 2014, I'm not sure exactly the date of it was. It was either right at the end. In fact, I had attended, a meeting out in Branson, Randall Greer meetings, and I have to come home to that meeting. It was sometime either about the last week of October in the beginning of November. It started into a period of time there until January. I had a number of encounters with the Lord concerning areas of finances. I didn't initiate them at all. God just clearly, I mean, this is one of the things, you know, God just clearly spoke to me. I mean, it wasn't, I'm praying and trying to hear something. You know, you get overtimes to do that. You're praying and you're trying to catch something on the inside. This wasn't that at all. This was God talking to Ed. But he talked, the thing is, one of the things that he did in saying this, and it's not about blowing my horn or anything, but the Lord spoke to me and said to me that how he was pleased with Wanda and I and our giving. He was pleased with us. And he said he liked the fact that every year we would look over our finances and look, say, where we could do something more or do something, and every year we were doing it. See, Wanda and I, over the years, we increase every year. See, I don't care where the economy's at. I don't care where my paycheck's at. I got a system, and my system's called more. That's what it is. It's the system's called more. And so Wanda and I do that, and you know, he commended us. That was something to me. You know, God would stop and commend me on and Wanda on our giving, and how he appreciated the fact. In other words, how we took giving in our life. I'm going to tell you, your prosperity determines how you really take giving in your life. How do you really take it? Is it a serious thing to you other than, well, I just give this, you know, we have this certain thing we give, put in, and that's not much. Because that's not, you know, how important it is to you, do you think, to your life that you're giving or doing your will. You know, the Bible talks about giving and stuff. This is something that we do because God is in this thing. How much do we want to be in this thing other than to get something? Are we really interested in fulfilling God's purpose in this, or is it about my purpose? See, when I was a baby starting, that was about my purpose. This is what I need. Yeah, I need this. But you know, I'm not like that today. I ask the Lord what he wants.
Amen.
Not what I want.
Amen.
I can ask for anything I want. So I don't have to put that in the front burner. See, if you put what you want on the front burner all the time, you are still in that young kid stage.
Amen.
See, it isn't about... This is one thing that I've learned over time. If I follow the plan of God, He'll bless me. I don't have to sit down and figure out all the rest of the stuff. I don't have to sit down and go through all this rigmarole and that. You know, with me, I can put money in. Why? Because I put money in because God's going to send me money. I mean, that's just the way it works. I'm going to be blessed. Hallelujah. That's the way it works. See, how do you view? This is why I'm telling you. You can say, I know God wants to prosper me. I know that. But you got to take on a different mind. See, there's very little top shelf prosperity preached. It's all on a low level. Most ministers do, you need money at the time, get money in my plate right now. Do this now, you need it, do that. That's all babyhood stuff. Babyhood, and you know what? Some ministers, they've learned this. This baby thing works. And they ain't about to change it. Because why? Fills their pockets. They really don't want people to listen to God. They're afraid they're going to get less. And call themselves faith. We're doing this by faith. Yeah. We're doing this by faith. Yeah, I'm a faith man. If God can't talk to you, we're wasting our time, folks.
Amen. Preach.
We're wasting our time. And don't say, as you know, as much as Ed can be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
It's you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
If you can't be led by the Spirit, you cannot fulfill God's plan. Forget it. And don't say as many as follow the law.
Hallelujah.
We got to be led by the Spirit of God. God wants to deal with you. The only way I ever learned how to grow up was to go to the Word, but the Spirit taught me how to grow up. He taught me in the areas I needed to learn, and I needed some areas I was really good at right away, other areas I wasn't. So you need to know that even by children and natural growth. Most parents do a terrible job at it because they try to do everything. I'm sorry, different people have to be dealt with a different way. Different kids have to be dealt with. And if you're dealing with them and they never change, there's something wrong with your head. It ain't the kid. You don't know nothing. You ain't paying attention to what that child needs to change. No kid's the same. I say to people, well, we treat all our kids the same. I think, man, I ain't coming to your house.
Amen.
I ain't putting up with that rot. No, we don't. God don't deal with all us the same. We got this thing is like we're cookie cutter Christians, and God just deals. No, we don't. God deals with us where we are spiritually, where we're at. You know, somebody can be in a babyhood stage, and God will do a ton for them because they really are a baby and they need dealt with them. Not him. You know, I was growing up. I know it was one time the Lord told me about a certain thing. He said, "You ain't gonna do that way and get anything from me." He said, "You know what to do better. You better get doing it." I said, "Yes, sir." See, the things He wouldn't tolerate with me on things.
Amen.
And you need to know this. There are some things in your life you can't get because God ain't tolerating your baby.
Amen.
He comes to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try. But it's all along. I feel like, you know, where I walked last year, God expects me to go to some. If you're only where you were last year, you ain't grown till this year.
Amen.
You see, these are the things that we deal with. You need to understand this. The further you grow, the greater the glory. Everybody wants the glory, but I'm sorry. You don't hand the baby the gun. God ain't a fool either.
Amen.
We want power. Yeah. Yeah. Are you a good conduit of power? You need to know that. Just like we plug in electric cords. I mean, the more power you want to go through, you can't use the same cord for everything you want to run.
Amen.
Christianity's stupid as you get. They think it all runs the same. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it don't.
Amen. Preach.
I learned that. I'm telling you things that I learned. I learned things that I realized I had to develop if I wanted to step into certain things, that God would use me in certain areas if I would step into certain things. And from the time that I was a young Christian, I'm amazed at the things He did through me. Some marvelous things he did through me, even in ministry. I am amazed, but I know this. He didn't do it by Ed's great wisdom and wonder and how great I was and how smart I was. Where I was walking, I didn't understand and knew. He used me there. And he did wonderful because I was walking in the light that I had. Amen. But I can't go back there.
Amen. Preach.
I can't go back there. Hallelujah. We got to keep, we're heading down the road, ain't we? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're going to something wonderful. And so we want to look at these things, you know, it's because God deals with you on these areas. And what I'm going to look at is what God dealt with me in these things, because the things we need to grow in, you know, is when the Lord dealt with me, the first time I ever had the Lord deal with me concerning really with myself as finances is going into the ministry is really with what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9:14. He said, even so, he says, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. In other words, I was going to have to walk in an area of faith, not like generally other people do. See, if you ain't called to the gospel, the full-time gospel, there's an area of faith that you're not going to walk in. I'm called to walk in this area. This is the area I'm called to. Well, in other words, another thing, there's grace on me to do it. God couldn't command me to do that. If you think, see, most of you, you're going to have jobs. And you're going to go jobs. That's one way you're going to make money. But this is one way is you work. The Bible talks about working. Laboring with your hand, what you got to do. Me, there's requirements in the Bible what I have to do. And what I'm supposed to do. But see, I'm supposed to live by the gospel. I'm not supposed to go out here and go on jobs and stuff and things like that. That's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to focus my time. You know, it's like the apostles said, you know, we are not waiting on tables. You know, that's what most ministers ain't nothing but some table waiters trying to keep everybody happy. Table. That ain't their job. It's they're supposed to spend in time in the Word of God and prayer. Supposed to hear something from heaven, have something to give somebody, something to put into people. Say, if you want a table waiter, Mom, join the church upstairs. It is what it is. Well, we sit around and play these stupid games and we want to, but we need to understand this. It's not what it is. See, everybody, they want something. They want somebody. Today, we want somebody to take care of us. We want somebody to look at. That's not what it is. My job is to point you in a direction, and it's your job to get a hold of it and go after it. That's yours.
Hallelujah.
You know? We need to understand these things. That's why spiritual, you want this to grow spiritually. Why? I ain't around your house all the time. I ain't around it. You need God. You need to know how to get a hold of it.
Amen.
Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm sorry. I'm having lunch. Go pray for yourself.
Great preacher.
Yeah, you drop. Say, if I drop that, can I call you anytime and ask you, are you going to do it? Well, no, you're just supposed to be the guy that does that. But people don't grow up.
Amen.
And people need to grow up. We need to be the thing that, we need to come to the place that we can say to the pastor, somebody needs prayer, ask me. Well, I know how to pray.
Hallelujah.
But you know what? Let's give it to somebody else. Let's go. Let's never develop into the place. Let's never go there. You want to go there.
Amen.
You want to go there. There's a place of blessing and stuff. Hallelujah. If God can flow through you, He can give you anything.
Hallelujah.
And you want to come to that place. God, I'm not going to be the dam. I'm going to be the river.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, anyhow, this is one of the things that the Lord told me, and I want you to get a hold of this. Because the Lord spoke to me, one of the first things He said to me was this. He commended Wanda and I about our giving, and He said how He appreciated it. And then He said this to me. He said, you don't receive at the level that you give. And I thought about this when He said this. Because I could go to 99.999% of so-called word preachers, and the first thing they'd say to you if you talked to them about giving and you were, you know, you wanted to think you ought to have more, the first thing that's on their mouth, you need to give more. That's what comes out of their mouth. They have this thing on healing. The first thing they say to them, well, you just need to believe God. There's more to that than this stuff. Amen. They got this much of it, and they throw that out there. You need to give more. And I'm going to give you an offering plate here in a minute. That's what it does. And then they'll stand up, you just need to put more in, that's going to be your success. I'm going to tell you, that's not all to your success. Amen. We're going to talk about giving, but we're going to talk about, I'll guarantee you, there's some of you probably here maybe not receiving at the level that you give. Because you fell into the same camp as I did, listening to these people. You just got to keep giving more and giving. You do not get more because you give more. You Amen. Need to understand, you do not get more just because you give more. We're going to talk about how to use your faith in the areas of finances. What the Bible teaches us, what we do. You don't get blessed just because you did it. This ain't the law. We live in a higher place. In a higher place. One of the things, everybody wants to be free. I want to tell you, what, God's given you the freedom, and I'm just this is the truth, to prosper as far as you want to go. And if you ain't going far, that's your fault. That's what I found out.
Amen. Great preaching.
It's your fault. See, you want freedom? Here it is. Oh, no, I just wondered if I just do something, I just go off and it just works and just happens. They sort of gave us that outside idea. Hadn't we figured it didn't work? Kenneth Hagin was a tither, and before his encounter with God, he was getting poorer every day. If you got money because you gave, well, it sure didn't work for him. He's a tither and he was a giver and getting poorer and poorer and poorer and poorer. Nothing was working. So you need to watch what you listen to. See, we listen to things, sounds really good. Okay, I'm just going to put more in than things are going to work for me. And then you ask him, say, what do I do? Well, you just got to give more. This is what the Lord said to me. Then we talked about this because I ain't going through all of it because we had discussions where I talked to him and asked him questions and he answered me back about things. And so I talked to him about this and what they keep telling us and what they're saying to us in the areas of giving. And I found out he has a different opinion. But he said to me, he said, well, let me ask you this question. I said, well, go ahead. I thought this is one we want to probably stump me. It's a, you know, God, you're going to ask me a question. I said, could I get somebody maybe smarter and you could ask it? Maybe they'll know. But he said to me, how much money do you have to give to get $1 million? Well, do you ever ask, how much do you have to give to get what you want? You see, this is where the church operates. They believe that they can get back because if I just keep it, he said, how much would you have to give? And he said this to me, and it really startled me. He said, if you don't know, if you have to give a certain amount to get $1 million, he said, you would have to know what that number is before you could ever have faith to receive it.
That's right.
And I said, well, he answered my question on that one, man. He answered my question. Because you know what? Preachers are preaching wrong all the time. Amen. Calling themselves prosperity preachers. Oh, and they have prospered at it. I won't go into all the things God told me about these people that he hates what they do. Because he said, they don't bless my people. He said, they're blessing themselves. He said, they found a system. And they don't want to change from it. That turns around and just gets people just keeping them giving money. But he said, the people aren't prospering.
Amen.
He said, the people aren't blessed and near what they're doing. Mm-hmm. See, God wants you blessed as far as you can go and where you're at. Maybe you ain't at the same, maybe we're not at the same place, but where you're at, he wants you to be able to get as blessed as you can in that area.
Amen.
That's what he wants. And I don't want to be a hindrance to that. This is why, you know, I don't do a lot of teaching on prosperity and things because of the competition. Mm-hmm. If people blow their TVs up and go offline, maybe we could get something done.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God, the way he spoke to me, he hates what they are doing to his people. He hates it. Because the people aren't blessed. God wants you blessed.
Amen.
I don't want to be a dam in your way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't want to do that. I want you to be able to be blessed as far as you can go. This is one thing. See, you need to hook up. You know, I learned this. The Holy Spirit knows knows about Ed. He knows where I'm at in every area of my life. And if I hook up with him, I can see things.
Amen.
And you need to do that. You need to see. You need to understand where are you at in finances? Where are you? Where is it you would like to go? What is it? What is it? This junk, I put money in, things just happen. There's no such thing in Scripture. We live by faith. That faith produces things. It don't just because you put, well, you know, just believe God when you put the money in. Believe for what? Say, I believe God's going to bring me money, and he sends you a dollar next week. That was money.
Yep.
Well, that was money. See, we got these things going on out here. This stuff and this way of thinking, and it's not biblical. It's not a biblical way of thinking. Mm-hmm. See, we need to let God talk to us. Let God speak to us. He didn't put the Holy Spirit in you so I could tell you everything.
Amen. Preach.
You don't need the Holy Ghost. If it's just, we can go right back to the Old Testament. I'll just be the prophet, and I'll just tell you what God said, and you jump. Oh, people throw a fit today about that, but that's what everybody's trying to do.
Amen.
Want somebody else, tell them what to do. I don't know what to tell you to do about your money. I know what to do about mine.
Amen.
I can teach you things about that I learned. That God taught me, that helped me get ahead. But we need to walk in this place that God has for us and get over in our thinking, get over in our areas of lose this thing in thinking that giving money is the only key to prosperity. It's not.
Amen.
We're going to look into some things as we go along today. Not today, but as we go along this. But we're going to find, you know, Paul talked about a person giving on, you know, what they have. God's not asking you for what you don't have.
Amen.
Everybody's on different levels of finances. I mean, Wanda and I, years ago, we started off in finances and things. There's some things I got to talk about. I don't like to talk about. I don't like to talk about personal finances and money and stuff like that personally. But God told me to, and I just, you know, He started me into this thing because of progressing. And the Lord talked to me about this and did it because back in when He talked to me in 2014 and He spoke to me, as He set a plan for me and told me to do something. Because what He talked to me. Now, you don't do what I did. This is what God told me to do. You got to find out where your faith is and where you can walk.
Amen.
And anyhow, the Lord told me, He said, He wanted to take me to another level. He said, He commended on the fact, and again, Wanda and I, He said He said, I want to thank, He said, you and Wanda really have done well. He said, whenever you've needed money, you've learned how to, you know how to believe and bring it in. He said, you've done it. He said, you need money for something, you know how to walk in faith, and you can bring the money in when you need something. And then He said this, which I thought, hey, that's really good. Yeah, you know. And He commended us on that we were doing that. But He said, that's not my best. I'm old. Well, that's exactly where most people are. Most people, that's where they're just, they want to get to that place. That whenever they can believe for something, they can bring it in. You know, Wanda and I learned over the years to do that. So, He said, I want you to have money waiting for you that when you arrive at the spot that you need it, you already have it. Oh. I said, it's funny. They never preached that one to Ed. Hey, I've never heard Kenneth Hagin preach it. You know what? But I understand why. Because the level he had to talk to people. He gets in a crowd, he's talking to most of the people there. He's talking to most of them there. They're just trying to get their needs met at the time. So he said, I want you to do something. And I want you to start, because he said, I want you to come up to another level. And see, I would never been able to receive what I was already giving at that level for if I didn't go to this. Now, we're going to show you that there's a higher level. If you're not at the place that you can't bring money in right now when you do need it and you have a hard time, you need to learn developing that. Because when prosperity was first taught, that's where it was brought out, that level, because it was a new thing to people. It was something people didn't know, and that's where it's brought in. But the church just stayed there. And the ministers just stayed on that level. They didn't grow out of it. They think it's neat just because I thought, well, yeah, hey, I can believe Wanda and I need money for something. We'd believe God. He'd come in. We'd get it. We'd have money come. And that's what we would just do, you know. And we go along. We need money for something, you know. Like I told you folks, we need money to go to vacation. We call it in. Never had a time it didn't come. Never had a time it didn't come. We needed money for something. I don't care if I don't had $2 to rub together. I could go down and believe for, you know, a $5,000 vacation and we'd have it. Learn how to do that. We learned how to bring it in. What the things you do. And that was nice. But you know, God led me to the place now that when I want to take the $5,000 vacation, the money's there waiting for it. It's already there.
Amen.
That's where you want to go. Isn't that where you want to? Don't you want to go to that place? Requires faith. It requires faith to do. Oh, it requires faith. It don't just happen because you gave money. I was giving money, enough money to make that happen, but I wasn't making it happen because I didn't know how to apply my faith. Nobody ever told me how you'd apply your faith like that. What do you do? So what he told me, don't believe for money because you need it. When everything is going good, believe for money. Set your faith. Now, you're going to understand this. You don't say, well, God, I want some money. I'm believing money to come in. Well, he sends you a dollar. That's what you said. You wanted money. That's money. You got to have specifically what you're believing. What are you specifically? You put money in a plate. What are you specifically believing God for? Are you believing for money? Are you believing for a house, a car? Or what are you believing for? Have you said? Well, if you haven't, you ain't used your faith. You just did an action. It was a good thing to give money, but you didn't specifically do nothing.
Amen.
That's what God was dealing with me at. Because why? We've been told, you'll get blessed because you gave. That's what you were told. And you know what? Kindly, God did a lot of nice things for us. But we weren't walking in the best. And in spite of it, like I said, He's merciful. God was so good to Wanda and I over this period. And so, anyhow, when we learned this thing, then the Lord said this to me, I want you to do this. And so, I mean, I'm having a conversations with him on this time period, just like you and I could sit and talk today. I mean, this is how it would happen. I mean, I would just sit and we'd just have a discussion. I'd talk, he'd answer back. And I don't know, those kind of things blow my mind. I don't know about you. But he said this to me, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to believe me for $5,000. See, we didn't need the money specifically at that time. We didn't need $5,000. We were okay at the time. But he said, I want you to believe me for $5,000. And when that comes in, I want you to double it. I want you to believe for $10,000. He said, when the $10,000 comes in, I want you to double it, believe for $20,000. And he said, you just keep doing that. He said, you just keep believing for more and more. Set that stuff out there. Start getting your faith out there. Now, number one, you can't be a chintzy giver and head that place.
Amen.
I'm just telling you.
Amen.
You need to know to walk in some of these things. You're going to have to take a different view of money. This isn't just so Ed can buy everything his beady little eyes wants. My number one motivation for money is to give. I'm serious. I love to give.
Amen.
I want to have to give to every good work. See, I've said that for years.
Amen.
See, it's one of the things that the Lord told me of concerning things. He reminded me of this fact. He said to me, he said about blessing of things coming to me and that stuff. He said, you always say it, and I would say it all the time. I want to have enough that I can give to every good work. That's what I want. And he said, you set the target. He said, I didn't. You did. You number one, you set the target on your financial life. God never did.
Amen.
You did. You decided what you wanted to go for, what you want. See, I thought Kenneth Hagin was being hard when I heard him say when I first got born again on a tape, and he said, your life's turned out the way you made it, so don't complain.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And I thought, boy, that's tough. You know, well, number one, see, you're grown up here. You ain't living with your mommies and daddies.
Amen.
Telling you what to do. And if you're doing the wrong things, that's your fault. You can't blame mommy. Well, I wasn't raised right. Well, get over it, big baby, and raise you. You got the vote.
Hallelujah.
Grow up. Grow up. And that's what I decided. I said, you know what, Ed needs to grow up. Mm-hmm. I need to grow up.
Amen.
I thought, well, Ed's got to change, you know.
Hallelujah.
So, as we're going along with this, and I said, well, okay, so I set myself, and I did this. Now, I started this in January, and in January, I said it, and I told Wanda about it. I said, well, I'm believing God $5,000. I said, okay, I said, praise God, $5,000 is coming. That's going to come in. We're going to, $5,000 is on its way to us. Hallelujah. Thank God we had it. I'd tell God every day, I'd have a thought about it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, $5,000 is coming to me. Now, we had believed for more money than that before. So this wasn't a strain on me. This wasn't a strain. But see, God said, showed me something. He's teaching me something. So, I think it was within like, I don't know, 3-4 weeks or something like that, $5,000 was given to us. And then, so I said, well, $10,000. Well, we're going to believe God for $10,000. So, set myself, believe God for $10,000. And a week later, we got $13,000. 13 something was given to us. I said, well, yeah, okay. Well, God told me to do it. Started. And this is the one that really got to me because I said, okay, believe 20, praise God, $20,000 is coming to me. I'm down at Randall Greer's ministry. This is 2015 and I'm at his meetings down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we're at the meetings there. And while at the meetings, I get a call from a guy and says, you're going to get I didn't know him well. I knew of him and that stuff. I talked to him already, but didn't know him well. But he said, you're going to get a call from a lawyer and he's going to tell you about money you're going to get. And he said, I'm calling and letting you know because this, if you get this call, this is not something, you know, it's a made up thing or anything like that. You'll know what this is. Well, I thanked him for it. Well, it turned out that Wanda and I got $186,000 given to us.
Praise God.
So I said, Lord, $20,186. I said, this sort of jumped. And, the Lord said, $168,000. I said, Lord, this is a big jump. I said, we went from 20 to that. And you know what he said to me? We ain't got time to mess around with this stuff.
Amen.
You need to understand, you need to quit messing around.
Amen.
He told me, we need to quit messing, I need to quit messing around with this stuff. We don't, amen. Let's get on with it.
Hallelujah.
You see, God, well, on our discussions, I went to the Lord about this. I said, well, Lord, how far do I go? And he said, this is not up to me. This is up to you. How far do you want to go?
Amen.
And I want to let you know, he didn't say that just for Ed Gibson. You determine how far you want to go.
Amen.
God
don't.
You determine it. How far do you want to go? Number one, how far are you trustworthy if God blesses you? If you're not faithful with little, I'm just going to tell you this. If you think tithing's enough, you ain't ever going to this place.
Amen. Preach.
Nope. You're not going to this place. I'm going to tell you what. Tithing will bless you if you learn how to operate on that. It'll bless your life. You can live a nice life. You can live nice.
Thank you, Lord.
But you watch other people do stuff. Now, the Lord told me to do this. Just in the area of giving money to ministries, God told me to go back to when he taught me that up till this past year of how much money Wanda and I gave just to ministries. This is in other things, but just to ministries. We gave over $250,000 to ministries.
Praise God.
And now I'm going to just say, we've been in this giving thing for 44th year. I'm just talking about 9 years. In 9 years, in fact, till this year's over, it'll be over $300,000. Let's just give into ministries.
Hallelujah.
God took us. I mean, we were back there when, man, tithing was a biggie. Just trying to, and our one because we had a big paycheck, tithing was a biggie. But you know, I've had this thing from the beginning. When I got born again, there was this desire in me to give. And I'll tell you about it. I'll tell when I have to give my testimony about getting born again is, I don't understand people that have a hard time giving because the first thing that happened to me I thought was absolutely weird because I wasn't a giver. Before I got born again, I was a taker.
Amen.
Whatever pleased me, whatever worked for me. And when I got born again, I hadn't heard about I didn't know about tithing at that time. I didn't know about those things. But I had this desire to give, to do something, give. I thought this is the weirdest thing in the world. I thought at first, what is this strange thing? I have nothing. I cannot, associate from the standpoint of thinking with Christians that have a hard time giving. I don't know what they're talking about because I have never experienced. I've always had a desire. I want to do it. I don't care if I could only afford to give a dime and put the dime in. There was no discussion about I did it. Whatever I could do, I did. Whatever I could do to be a part of whatever God's system was, I wanted to be a part of that.
Amen. Preach.
And over the years, God has led us and led us up. Oh, there's people doing much more than I do and want to do. But number, see, that's where He has led us. And He has built us. I want to say, you ain't get rich overnight. Oh, you can do it in the world or whatever. But you, that is the way that God's system doesn't work. God gives to people on their spiritual maturity. That's why you guys hear me say this all the time. If your spiritual level doesn't exceed the amount of money you have, you will follow the money.
Amen.
Money. We might get over and teach on some of that. What the Bible says all told about money and about money is a powerful thing that the devil uses to trap people all the time and destroy their lives, to get them off where they think. I mean, look at the church at Laodicea. You know, hey, you guys got money. Oh, we're all living good. We're living great. Jesus is outside. Many Christians today, Jesus don't live with them.
Amen.
He ain't fellowship with them. Why? Covetousness is idolatry. The love of stuff is idolatry.
Amen.
You've got to become the place that you can have stuff and it don't bother you. It don't run your life.
Amen.
That if God says tomorrow, you got to give it away, you give it away. That God says tomorrow, I want you to do something else that you can pick up and go.
Amen.
God sends you here or sends you there, you'll get up and go. You will obey.
Amen.
Everybody wants money, but they want it usually at their leisure and at their pleasure. But you know what? One, and have a great, we can always afford to go on vacations. We can always afford to do the things we want to do now. We can always have the money to do that, yet we give a lot of money. And the giving's always first. That's
Amen.
On the list. Why? Because me and Jesus are working together. See, He's the head of the church, and I want to make sure He has enough.
Hallelujah.
I want to make sure He has enough. I found out when I want to fulfill His pleasure, He fulfills mine.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's where you want to go to. You want to go to that place. Or, man, Lord, You want it. So like I told her, you know, money-wise, He's allowed to do it. I tell the Lord, you know, You're allowed, if You want to wake me up, You can wake me up anytime at night you want to, if you need to talk to me or something. Mm-hmm. He does it all the time.
Amen.
Ever since I've been told Him He's allowed to do that, I'm waking up all the time at night.
Amen.
I wake up in the night, He talks to me.
Hallelujah.
That's where I got the change on the service. Wakes me up in the night, He tells me what He wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had good plans too.
Amen.
But He tells me what He wants to do. You know, there was another thing that I had to do and that stuff didn't know. Woke me up. I guess it was like 4:30 in the morning. Woke me up, told me, and I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. So somebody needs to talk to you. See, somebody say, I need my 8 hours. I need God. You have your 8 hours.
Hallelujah.
I need to hear from heaven more than I need to sleep.
Hallelujah.
I can get to sleep anytime.
Amen.
Lay your phone down and go to sleep. Always got time for that. Your phone times, you can look on and see every week how many hours you're on it. You can look and see. You can look and tell you how long you've been spending on that sucker. You could delete that app, you know. Hallelujah. But see, we're talking about this today because God wants to take you somewhere. And now you might say, well, how do I get there? You don't have to worry about how to arrive at the top CD and do it down here. Where am I walking at right now? You got to find
Amen.
Out. What is it concerning finances? When we talk about, when they say, well, you know, if you get money, you'll be blessed. What is your faith doing? Faith is something specific. It's not in general. You didn't just say, I believe God and I got born again. You had to believe a specific thing. You got to believe specific things to be born again. To get things, you got to believe specifically and declare what you're believing for.
Amen.
They're telling us just give money. It's going to happen. Just give money. God will bless you. And kindly enough, He's been good to the church, but the church hasn't gone near where they're supposed to go. Not even close. The church has to do just, you know, Tom Miser. I mean, I'm a Rhema graduate. Hires a company to come in and hound his people for money to build a building that God said he's supposed to build. Hired a company come in, and they come to people's house and expect their people in the church to tell them their incomes, and he tells them how much they have to give above their tithe. He hires it down there. He's a leader. Not mine. God told me to move away from that stuff. See, there's a lot of big out here ain't God.
Amen. Preach.
They talk about using faith. That's faith. He doesn't trust. He called his people giving units. And I told him, I said, you call me a giving unit, you'd never see me again in your church. I ain't your, see, that's the way he looks at people. It's your job to give me what I want. You wouldn't be surprised how many believe that. This prosperity stuff has gotten out in the weeds with the devil. A lot of it.
Amen.
Wrong attitudes, wrong things. We had a wonderful, years ago, we had a minister and his wife come in and ministered. This is back years ago. We were still over, we were at Birch Road at that time. And a couple who were Rhema, they were very close to Brother Hagin. But anyhow, they came and on the one night, he did a teaching on about giving and that stuff. It was a wonderful, wonderful message. I mean, it was just really good. I mean, it was a wonderful, inspiring to really that, man, I want to get in God's plan. I want to flow with God. And really, it was a great message. And so I had talked at that time with the board about the fact that I said, if God's telling me to give them a certain amount of money over what they're offering, a certain amount, which was a large amount, was to give. Felt led to do that. And we agreed on that. When we went to give him, though, the offering, after the offering's taken over, give him the offering, he said, I can't take that offering. And I said, why? He said, I can't stand here and preach money and then take an offering from the people. I said, man, you're one in a million. He wouldn't take that offering. Well, I said, I just want to thank us. I said, Lord, I understand why the Lord told us to give you a certain amount of money. So I said, we're going to give you a certain amount of money. In fact, that was the largest, up to that time, that was the largest offering we had ever taken. And he said, I can't take that. He said, I can't come into your church and preach and walk out with the money on it. He said, I can't do that. See, there's very little integrity today in the church. Very little. And when I thought about him, I thought, man, I want to be like him. I want to be like that. See, this is why I'm very careful. This is one thing that, you know, maybe been too cautious in areas about teaching about money because there's so much junk said. I don't want people to think I have my hand in their pocket.
Amen.
I love people. I don't love your money. Amen. I love you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Whether you got it or you don't got it. What you do with your money, that's you and God's business. You're going to have to deal with that. That's up to you. It ain't up to me. And I don't want to. And that's why it's one of the things, because so much has been done and said, and the Lord said, well, you need to get your mouth open. You need to start talking about these things. Because we're not trying to just be, I'm not trying to be contrary. There's just too much wrong said. There's too much wrong done in these areas. I mean, I said in a minister's meeting, and they said, if, you know, finances aren't going good, you need to start preaching to people, you know, about giving and doing stuff like that. I said, you can't do that. I said, you're not preaching to bless the people. You're preaching to bless you. These were leaders over me saying this stuff. If God can't bless me at all without you, he ain't as big as he said he was. We got to come to that place. What happened that will hinder your faith of who you think you're looking to get you your money? It'll hinder your faith if you keep looking to your boss. It'll hinder your faith. This person's supposed to do this for me and that person. If you believe God can only work through wherever you're working, well, you need another dip.
Amen.
You need to come to the place. That's not who God brings it through. It don't matter.
Amen.
I don't care. Amen. I just know this. It's a coming. It's a coming.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. It's a coming. That's all I got. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But I want you to start to get into things. You start to specify with God what you want. Now I understand. You gotta stay with, if you've never sat down and ever believed God for $1,000, and let's just put it this way. If you think $1,000 is a lot of money, that's gonna limit you. If you believe $10,000 is a lot of money, that's gonna limit you. You set your limit on what you think is a lot of money. You set a limit on yourself. So you gotta see how you think. You know, when Wanda and I, we to Randy Greer's meetings and that stuff. I mean, the minimum we'll put in is $1,000. That'd be the minimum, you know, like we and I'm just saying this. So we were up in, when we were, in, Florida there, at the meetings and that stuff. Well, we put over $2,500 just in the offering in. But see, what do you think? I'm going to take years ago. My God. $20 was big, our first, I'm serious, $20. You don't want to put $2,500 in? We could put $50,000 in if we wanted to. You see, you need to understand it. How you get, the way we've been taught has kept us little. It's kept us down in this little place where you didn't know how to expand. You were putting money in and, well, however, how God's going to dish it back to me. That isn't how it works. What did you specifically believe for? Now I'm going to tell you, if you've never believed God for $1,000, I would say start off with something less. When God told me $5,000 at that time, I thought, oh, this is easy. I've done this before. So this, I can do that. I can do that. I've been there. So that there's something I can do. But you need to know, have you ever believed for $1,000 outside something else? That something came in extra? Have you ever done that? You ever believe for something and oh, all of a sudden, man, you need some money? But get specific what you need. What do you need? What is it that you want or you desire? Whatever thing you desire or want, whatever it is, you need to get yourself over to know what it is. What can I believe for? How much? I might, you know, it's one thing to say, man, I need $5,000. Well, can you believe for it? Can you believe? God's not moved by your want. He's moved by your faith.
That's right.
Not by your want. Now, you want to develop your faith that you can take a hold of your wants and take a hold of your needs. You can do that. One of the things we had in discussion with God, well, I asked the Lord, and when he did this to me and he said, and where he had answered my question, I said, you know, the Bible, we always use the thing, God will supply all your needs. And I ask him about the need question. Well, what do I need? You know, do you ever think about that? Am I going beyond? Maybe I don't need the steak dinner at the restaurant. We can eat bologna. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, we can get by on the bologna sandwich. Hey, I like a good bologna sandwich. I don't mind. So, I mean, what is it? How do you determine? See, all these things hinder your faith. Everything like this hinders your faith. Because you're saying, I'm going to believe God. But you really are to question whether or not you can go there or should I ask for less. You know, I'll tell you what, I really like this certain car over here, but I'm willing to go for this car over here because it costs less money. Well, get the one with the less money. You just set yourself. You don't know, you maybe can't even believe for that one. You understand what I'm saying? This is not criticism. You have to know specifically what you can believe for and what you can't.
Amen. That's right.
Now, God many times has gone over my belief. He will do exceedingly abundantly above what I imagine. But I'm going to tell you what, if you can't, you ain't got a starting point, he can't even go above that.
That's right.
Amen.
If you don't know what you can believe for, how's he going to go above that?
Amen.
He will with a zero. That's what's going to come. So, what can I believe for? I'm just encourage you. I've learned to see what this wasn't really hard for me what the Lord did because Wanda and I had did this. I had trained myself in the areas of faith as a young Christian. If I could afford to buy certain things, sometimes I didn't buy them. I would believe God. I'm going to believe God. Even though I could afford to buy it, I didn't buy it. I said, praise God, I'm just, but that's going to come. Somebody's going to give that to me. And time after time, I had that. God did it. Those things God supplied. Mm-hmm. See, most of you, you don't use your faith. Right? What you can just go afford to buy, you just go buy it all the time. You're hindering your faith. Mm-hmm. You need to have stuff you're believing for all the time. Faith ain't something you pull out of your pocket because it gets rusty. You keep it in your pocket, and when you need it, don't be surprised you can't open the blade on your pocket knife because it's rusted shut. Mm-hmm. And your faith is rusted shut. And you're now you need something big, and you can't even get the little blade open on the thing. Mm.
Great preaching.
See, it doesn't matter how much money that I have. There's things I still pushing on in faith. Why? You need to have your faith. We walk by faith. This isn't we walk by faith some days and one days and maybe this month I'll have a day or two I do faith and next month I don't even need a faith. I can keep living off of whatever I'm doing and I'll throw faith in down near the road. And then what I really need by faith, it's real sharp now. Boy, this thing's going to work. No, you have things out there all the time you're thanking God for. Thanking God that He's doing. I'm going to tell you what, it's a happy life. It's a wonderful life to live like this. It's a wonder that all the time me and God, we got this relationship with the Lord. I'm just saying, you're taking care of that for me. I just want to thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I love it tonight, lay in bed. Just thank God. I'm so glad you're taking care of this for me. I'm just so glad you're doing it. Hallelujah. I'm just glad I have you to trust. I'm so glad when I close my eyes, it ain't worrying about tomorrow. I'm saying when I close my eyes, I'm going to sleep. And you might even wake me up to talk to me. You like me so much.
Amen.
You can't get away from me. You just want to talk to me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, we want to come. This is the life of the walk of faith. See, we've moved this thing by need. And during the earth in need, I said this to the Lord. And this is when I said why one of the answers He gave me, I told you before. I said to Him, what is my need? Oh, He said, that's easy. You set your need. You set that, He said, years ago. I said, I did. Yeah. He said, you've always said you want to give to every good work. Amen. He said, you need a lot.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I never had one preacher ever explain need to me. Never. What I need. I never knew that I set my need. Never knew that. Never had anybody ever tell me. But you know what? My fault. I never asked God. I ain't blaming preachers. But I know this. They don't talk to God like they say they do.
Amen. Preach. Preach.
They talk to God about how much you ought to give them.
Amen.
And there's a God talks to them about it too. Hallelujah. For you to give more really than your faith can come the area to give does not do you any good.
That's right.
It'll only hinder your faith. God's not after hindering your faith.
Amen.
He's not after that. God's not trying to hinder you. God wants you to be able to succeed on where you're at. Whatever you're into, He wants you to exceed the level where you're at. He wants you to go in that place.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And so understand that. Your need in life, what you decide. See, I decided, this is why with me, I have a drive to give to ministry and to God's will is because of the scripture. I want to give to every good work. See, I set that in me. Well, I understood then why I have this drive in me that I find such great pleasure. See, I set that in me.
Amen.
See, I didn't set it in me. My need's a Ferrari. I need a...
Thank you, Lord.
I need a this. I need a... And you know what? I found this out. I can get anything. God likes to give me money. He told me. He said, I like to give because He said, you're not selfish. Now look, I'm not blowing my horn. He did that. But see, it ain't because there's people, there's Christians that got 100 times more money than we got.
Mm-hmm.
And He'll never say it to them.
Amen.
Because they operate out of their abundance all the time. You see, I could just operate there out of my abundance. I could just do that. You don't want to go to that place.
Amen.
You don't want to live there. that place. See, there's a need in me, and it's not mine, it's God's.
Amen.
And I want to satisfy His need.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to have His need or His desire becomes my, it becomes a forefront. I lack nothing by this.
Amen.
This is the key to the blessing.
Great preaching.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the key to the blessing. See, you have in yourself a desire. Do you want to do it? Fulfill these kind of things? This is the key to the blessing.
Amen.
It's not looking at my checkbook. It's looking at Him.
Hallelujah.
And I learned, if He asks, I told him, you're allowed to ask.
Amen.
For what you're allowed to. Because if no one, you have, don't have any right to ask God for a lot if you want, don't have any plans on giving a lot.
Amen.
This ain't a one-way street. I want to know Him. I got His love shed abroad in my heart. I love giving as much as He does. Or we ain't got the same stuff. We have a relationship. We reciprocate. This is not a one-way street. I don't have a one-way Jesus.
Amen.
He ain't my
Amen.
Santa Claus.
Lord.
He's my Lord, and He's, I've never had anybody rule over me so wonderful. I've
Amen.
Never had anybody. I've never had nothing.
Amen.
Ain't nobody you can vote for in His elections
Hallelujah.
That even shines a light on His toenails.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Nobody comes close to
Thank
it.
You, Lord.
And He's my Lord, and He lets me fellowship with Him.
Amen.
He's God!
Hallelujah!
And He wants to bless me!
Oh,
yeah, He just patted me on the head and said, okay, I like it. That would have been sweet. But what He wants to do, He wants to, you to be blessed like you're living in heaven.
Amen. Woo! Heaven on earth. Hallelujah.
My will on earth like it is in heaven.
Amen.
See, when you say, this is not, you know, this is why, give it to me, as a young Christian, giving lost its struggle.
Amen.
Because I saw beyond the veil of the flesh and the things that people just said. I heard people say, well, you know, man, it's hard to give. I found out sometimes it's hard not to.
Amen.
There's sometimes God had told me, no, let that alone. You just go to because you just, but it's the nature. You got that nature in you.
That's right.
Not your nature. It's within you. You should have a great desire to be blessed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I mean, God called Abraham out. He sent him. First thing He says to Abraham, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to bless you. Number one, if you don't get blessed, you can't be a blessing.
Amen.
If you aren't blessed real good, you're only as a blessing as much as you can bless.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't. Hey, there's no knocking. We all started places and we're at these. But you got to come to something. And I decided. I didn't get here overnight.
Amen. Preach.
I walked. And we walked toward this thing. And we walked toward this thing. And we walked towards. One of the great things it has is I was just so happy to have a wife, you know. And she's just a giver. She just, you know, her.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In fact, if I, you know what? 9 times out of 10, if I'm thinking of a number to give, I'll ask her and she'll go higher. And when she does, I always go higher.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. She can hear God. I want her desires fulfilled too.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We never talk about it anymore. You think we can afford that? No, it's like, man, God said it. You give it. Watch what happens to us. Watch what happens to us. You know, financially, during the Obama administration, Wanda and I were the greatest prospering times of our lives. And all these people, Christians, whining about Obama. I'm glad he got in there. I got blessed. The devil couldn't take Ed's blessing. You wouldn't know it, but the church, you'd sure think, well, I got it. We don't get rid of Biden. God can't help you no more. My God. I've been prospering under Biden.
Amen.
Some people say, I can't afford groceries. I'll call me, I'll buy them for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
People going through all this nonsense. You can't talk this stupid stuff. You can't talk this. Well, I'll tell you what, things are costing so much. That means God will just give me more. See, all I have to do is raise my faith up. Well, Lord, I'll need 1,000 more this month. Maybe 2,000 more this month.
Amen.
I mean, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I just believe I received. Thank you. I have it. Glory to God. He ain't a liar.
Amen.
He quits doing what he says. I don't have to serve him.
Amen. Preach. Amen.
See, we need to come back into the church world and need to get these things out of here and that stuff. This is not stress about giving.
Amen.
God ain't going to thump you over the head. I don't care if you've messed up in this area. He'll help you get, because his whole thing, he wants to bless you.
Amen.
The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah.
He wants to take you to another level. He wants to get you. If you've missed it, he knows how to fix it. He knows to get you on track. Why? He wants to bless you. Why does he want to bless you? Well, if you don't want to be a blessing, well, then you're going to have a hard time in this area because your faith ain't going to work because there's no love in it.
Amen. Preach.
If it's only about what we can get. No. We need to come over in the area and say, hey, no. What do we need? If God tells, there's one thing is I've learned to be quick in this area, and I've learned this. You need to be quick in the area if God instructs you to give money to somebody or something, if he does.
Amen.
He starts dealing with you on it, because I'm just going to tell you, and I've watched this over the years. I'm a great observer of people. Mm-hmm. Find out over years. See, people want blessed, but they'll drag their feet when God's telling them to give to something. And they're dragging. Don't think any bad of it. Number one, in this earth is the money you need. God don't write any checks. He don't send any of them down to you. He doesn't do any of that. The Lord told Kenneth Hagin, I'm not a counterfeiter. I don't counterfeit money. He said, what you need's down here. God uses people. And if you ain't one of the people he can use, it's a good chance not much will come your way.
Amen. Preach.
Can you be someone that he can send things through to other people?
Send us,
I remember Kenneth Copeland talking about that, how God would give him things. He said, what are you giving me this for? I have no need of this thing. It ain't for you. It's for somebody else. But he can get it to the person who needs it.
Amen.
Most Christians, the average Christian's a damn. Yep. If it gets into their hand, they ain't letting loose of it. No, I got to take my cut. Sometimes things just pass through me. Sometimes I get money and, well, we just gonna give it away. That's what I did. I mean, we did well on our income tax of getting back this year. And you know what we did when we got it back? Gave it all away. So don't put that money in my hands. We gave it away.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I'm just so glad to be able to do it. I lived my life when you couldn't wait to get that check back because you're just trying to pay stuff off and you're just trying to do things.
Amen.
And to me, it's such a happy thing. Hallelujah! I can bless somebody.
Hallelujah.
And that's what we did. We blessed some people.
Amen.
We did blessing. I'm just so thankful I can do that. I couldn't do that kind of stuff. I didn't. I thank God in his kindness he taught me. And let God teach you the things I'm talking about. Just don't take because I said it.
Amen.
You go to the Word. You look in the Word. You look in to see what God says. Let God talk to you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let him minister to you. He knows. He wants to. I don't care if you think you're at a great level. What do you want to stop there?
Amen.
Let's go further.
Hallelujah.
Let's go beyond. Let's go more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants to get stuff into people's hands he can trust.
Amen.
That's right. There's too many people can't be trusted. Can't be trusted. God's looking today. He's looking for a people. Say, hey, I can hand you something. You'll do it. He don't mind Mom and I taking money and spending it for ourselves and doing things. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because we're generous.
Amen.
He wants me to have a good. Hey, I ain't the guy who just gives it all away.
Amen.
You know? God likes me to have a good life. You know? I like
Hallelujah.
It.
Hallelujah.
You know, I'm just, you know, but I mean, I'm the type of guy, you know, hey, people can do this if you want to. If you need a new car every year and like to have one and you can't ever drive something for a while, that's fine if you want to. I just don't waste my time with those things myself. Now, this is me personally. This is my personal life. I just don't, you know, my vehicle's running good and I'm just happy, you know. You know, I always think about this. When I was out at Rhema, they bought Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin had it was a late 70s. It wasn't late 70s. It was an earlier 70s Bronco. He loved his Bronco. He liked his Bronco. He loved this thing. Well, they bought him a new BMW, and he wouldn't give up his Bronco. He liked his Bronco. They bought him this new BMW. They took an offering in the church and turned around. What about Brother Hagin? They bought him a BMW, and he said, he don't want this BMW. He said, I like my Bronco. He said, people want to get his Bronco. He said, you ain't getting my Bronco. And he'd drive his Bronco. Why? Because that's what he liked. It wasn't a matter. He had nothing against people owning BMWs. That's what you don't have to go up this. This is what I used to be in sales years ago, and this is what I found out. A lot of people have stuff ain't the people that got all the money.
That's right.
I was in sales. I sold for a company, it's called Tylo. They were owned by Reynolds Aluminum at that time. We sold, you know, from siding to roofing to windows and all kind of stuff. And even at that time, I mean, you get a lot of money into a home when you go in and stuff. So lots of times you're going in and people are buying, lots of people have to borrow money to stuff that they're doing and things. And so you're checking people, you have to be able to check people out at the banks. Well, I learned this out in a hurry. You'd go to the part of town where they have the nice big houses. Man, them people are up to their hilt in debt. And you'd go out there, we'd go over like, say, New Cumberland at that time. Was a lot of, not just changed today, but that time in New Cumberland was a lot of the old people lived in there for years, families grew up in that area and stuff. Man, they had money. You'd go to the bank about those people. My God, they could borrow anything they wanted. I mean, they could just do whatever they wanted. People all had money. And you'd go over to Camp Hill. You'd go over to Camp Hill at that time. That was the big place. They were the rich folk over there in Camp Hill. And you go over there and a guy got to put a roof on his house and you walk in his house, there's hardly any furniture in the house, can't afford it. Has a BMW sitting on it, got all the look. Can't afford furniture in his house, got a mattress laying on the floor. Can't borrow the money to put a roof on his house. There's a lot of Christians live like that.
Amen. Preach.
Their money's tied up in everything. My money's tied up in Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. See, God got to be able to come and ask me, and He has every right to. He's my Lord. He has every right to be. And you know what? I am pleased. It's like I said this before many times. I asked the Lord, why do you always ask us? Come along, you ask us, you have to do a certain thing, do this. He said, because when I ask you, you do it.
Amen.
You know, if you keep saying no, don't pay any attention. Don't be surprised He never talks to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
He will get to, I'm just telling you, you don't know the Lord if you don't understand this principle about Him.
Amen.
He will go for a long time trying to deal. And if you won't, eventually He'll quit talking to you. He won't say anything to you about it anymore.
Amen.
He'll let you, you're where you want. You ain't going to ever change till you want to change it.
Amen. Preach.
Because He won't deal with you on it anymore.
Amen.
See, I learned that about Him. You respond quick if you want things responding quickly to you. If you're hard to get it into the hands of whoever God told you to give it to, don't be surprised when your need comes, it's hard getting to you.
Amen. Preach. Great preacher.
Amen. See, we reap what we sow.
Amen.
You're going to learn this about finances. Finances ain't overnight. It is not overnight. And even getting people. I tell you, God got to work to get people to give.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first time, I believe for a new car. And I thought for sure that car was going to come. The 1 year it was going to come. It didn't come. But I've told this story before. Next year, the guy comes and says, I'm supposed to buy you a new car. He says, God talked to me about it last year, but I wouldn't do it.
Mm.
So see, he waited. God told him to do it, but he drug his feet for a year.
Mm.
Said, well, you know, now I'm going to obey God. It's not a good thing to do because next time you might need something and it shows up a year after the bill was due.
Yeah.
Now look, as a baby Christian, lots of times, you know, you don't know if you're catching things or you might do it. But I know this, I can't wait around like that.
Amen.
You can hear, you come to a place where you start maturing some, you're going to have, when you know, it is. It just go after.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Number one, if I have the money to give that God said I'm supposed to give and do, I like to get it out of my hands quick and not think about it.
Amen.
No, I've learned this. It's a good thing.
Because
you know what? I'm going to take time. I'm going to meditate and pray. And you know what God said. And you go meditate and pray. And get over in the flesh real good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Say, well, I'm not sure if He said that or not. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's good preaching, folks.
Amen.
It's like, no, I know what he said. Let's get it out. Write that thing out right now. Hand that to him. Give it to him. Mm-hmm. Get that away from me before my flesh talks to me.
Amen.
I just heard from heaven in the anointing sitting in a meeting. Let's not leave so the flesh can get over on me over lunchtime. And I get and I get to wonder if God really said that. Now, I know none of you ever have those problems. It's only Ed. I realize that. But it's like, no, let's get that taken care of. God spoke. I know it. I know it was God. I'm not letting something else get in between it. Hallelujah. We're going to do that. Hallelujah. But I just want you to go think God wants you blessed. I gave you things to really think about. But the importance of these things to think about is not to hurt anyone. It's to help you. Find out where you're at. You know, I'm going to tell you what. That is really a need that you have. Just find out where you're at. What you can be. When you're giving money, what are the things you're asking God for? Are you just generally waiting for money? That's most of people generally waiting for God to bless them. They have nothing specific that they ever believe to receive. Now, we understand. You have to understand how faith works. You got to believe you receive it when you ask for it. And you got to talk like he gave it to you after that. And they'll tell you this with money. Sometimes you got to wait a while. There's things I've stood on for a long time. Why? Because God got to deal with people. And most Christians are not spiritual enough to follow what God wants to do. I'm not criticizing. Just the way it is. They're not spiritual enough. No, you got to show them a picture of a starving kid. You got to show them a dog that's limping. You got to show them the stuff. You got to show them the stuff. They have to see something. They got around here, and you know what? If a guy has, well, we don't give the pastor any money. He got plenty. Well, what if God told you to give it to me?
Amen.
See, if you're a fleshly Christian, I know this. I won't get a nickel out of you if God told you to give it to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's why I don't look to you. But you got to get this, folks. You got to understand. That's why you can't target people about what you're going to get from or what you are.
Amen. Preach.
God's dealing with people. And we want to become people who are sensitive on where and what we're given to.
Amen. Preach.
Don't give to everything just because it sounds good.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, there's a lot of Christian causes. If you knew what happened to the money, you would have never gave it. To find out how much money does not go to what they... A ministry does not have to put a nickel in to what they tell you that they're giving to. They don't have to do that. Do you know the integrity of the ministry? Do you know their integrity? Have you ever followed them up to see if whatever goes with it? I don't care what they say they do. I found this all. There's a lot of dishonesty in ministry.
Amen.
Ministries have made millions and it never went to it. I know one minister, I really liked him a lot. He ended up dying of cancer. But raising money for a project, turn around, well, we're going to use it for something else. We're going to use it for something else. Ended up dying of cancer. He opened the door for the devil.
Amen.
Nice man. Really nice man. He's a good preacher. But you just don't do that. You just don't decide. You know, you don't. It's about your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Then he wants to use the voice that he turned around and used to mislead people and try to use that same voice to get healed of cancer. Didn't work. We need to understand this kind of stuff. You tell people you're going to do something, you best do it. It's all about integrity. All about integrity. I'll take a person with integrity, I'll take anything. I'm more impressed by the person with integrity than riches or whatever else. You find a person who has good word, and they do it, I'll tell you what, they ain't the norm. Years ago, it was a lot different. People had a lot different integrity years ago as they do today. Today, in the church, is very frivolous. It's very frivolous. I refuse to be part of that. I'm not going to be. It's number one, we want to be honest. My faith counts on my honesty.
Amen.
I always think about, every time I think about that, I think Brother Hagin said. Brother Hagin said, if you're a liar, he said, you know it, and your faith ain't going to work because you know you're a liar. I liked it when he talked direct like that. I could understand. I could get it quick. I didn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. I didn't need a special sermon. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to get into yourself, though. God does want you to prosper. But I also want you to get into you this. This has to do with you and how far you want to go. You know, some people may don't want to go. I'm not trying to make anybody feel condemned about anything. But how far do you want to go? What is it within you? You got to decide that. How far do you want to reach out? You might say, oh man, I've for years maybe haven't been doing exactly right. Don't matter. God can take you wherever. You know?
Amen.
Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth. It's about time we start believing those scriptures.
Hallelujah.
Instead of just quoting them.
Great.
You know, it'd be better if we believed them than just quote them. And it said, where are you at today? Don't feel ashamed where you're at. Don't, you know. I always like, you know, the woman with the two copper pennies she put in the offer. Jesus said she gave more than all the rest. Why? See, God does it based on how much money by dollars that you put in. He goes by what you gave, what you have. Mm-hmm. They gave a lot more in her, but he said no. He said no. She gave why? She gave everything. He said they gave out of their abundance. That's what they were tithing out of their, they were giving out their abundance. You know, and you need to understand this concerning that with her and a tithe. God required her to tithe. It isn't like the American church today and we're word people. And you people, oh, yeah. No, they can't afford to give. I'm just going to tell you, I never met a person yet that God doesn't think that they don't, that God thinks they don't can't afford to give. You need to tell, and you need to quit trying to take care of everybody's needs. And you need to tell people, Christians, you need to ask them when they need help. Do you tithe? Do you give money? What do you do? I ask them all the time. People call the church. They want help. What on earth are you doing? You're doing nothing and want to get a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I give it to you, you're just going to do it again and again and again.
Yep. Amen.
And you're going to learn nothing. I always tell them, say, I'll tell you what. Come to church this Sunday and sit and listen. And I said, you might learn something. And I said, then we'll decide what you want to do. Well, I can't. I said, me either. Goodbye. Why? If you can't change their way, if they don't want any more than where they are, you can't take them anywhere.
Amen. Preach.
They need to come to the place where they have nothing to those raise their hand and say, I gotta change. Something's gotta happen. As long as they can get you to do for them what they will not do, then they have no need to change. I don't care if it's family members.
Preach.
You better learn it there.
Amen.
All we do is keep them in bondage. No, you're going to have to, give me a call when you want to change.
Amen.
Give me a call.
Hallelujah.
When you want to, if you ain't going to change, it ain't going to do no good. If you don't want to, now you can tell me you want to change. We're going to find it out. Before I help you, you got to come and sit under teaching, you know, for the next month. Well, I don't know. Well, let's see if they have an interest in changing. Because why? Nobody's going to change over one sermon one night. Mm-hmm. I watch people go to the altars to get saved and turn around and leave and never live a godly life at all, you know.
That's right.
Change don't come through these. Change comes through persistently moving in a direction and listening. Yeah. That's what brings change. That's the way it works.
Amen.
The church is the Harry Potter church today. We just wave the magic prayer wand and it all just gets fixed and we all just have this wonderful time together. And people go home just like they were.
Amen.
Unchanged.
Preach.
Hallelujah. You want to change, don't you? You want to go higher.
Amen.
You want to go more.
Every
day. Hallelujah.
Farther and farther.
Having a greater desire. See, some of you here, and it just comes out, some of you thought maybe you were looking for too much. And you ain't even scratched the surface.
Amen.
See, I thought I had some big believing until God started to show me. I thought, my God, I ain't believing big at all. I'm not reaching out. See, reaching out. What do you want to put in you? See, right now, if you can find out where you're at, then you can know where you can step to next.
Amen.
There's one, if you don't know where you're coming from, you can never know where you're going to. You have to know where you're at to know the direction to get to the next place. This is the church. They think God's going to take them to the next place, and they ain't got a clue where they're at.
And none preach.
Your spiritual development comes from understanding what you know and what you don't know. What you say you believe that doesn't work in your life, you need to stop and say, hey, you know, I say I believe that, but it don't work. Mm-hmm. So there's something wrong with there. Either I could be believing the right thing, but not doing right things. Amen. Or maybe I have a good part of a revelation. I need something more. Amen. So I had a good part of being blessed financially. But boy, I needed more. I needed to see beyond that. I needed to go beyond that place of like, oh, wow. Hey, there's a big field out here. My God, there's a big place out there. And when I found out that God didn't govern the place, He gave us the place. And He said, how far do you want to go in this place?
Amen.
When He opened that door to me, when that door got opened to me and I stepped into that field, I thought, as far as I want to go in this place, I can go. It's not me. God doesn't say, well, Ed, this is what people say. Well, God has some people. He wants to bless some people. He has some people. Jesus said you're always going to have the poor with you. That's right. You're going to always have the people that never develop or learn what they need to learn to just prosper. People who don't work. People. You're always going to have the. God didn't want them. God wants everybody to prosper.
Amen.
That's what He wants.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, some people, we can help them through this and go to the place to prosper. Some you just can't. They're going to be as poor tomorrow and the next day 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 and the next day. Because they have no desire to go outside of that. You know, you believe God, get the money and give it to me. Did you ever run into them? You get blessed. Hallelujah. See, these things need to be taught. See, we taught prosperity of what we understood with it. We taught it to our children. Our children learned to tithe. When they got money, we always taught you tithe. You want God to bless you. Because if you're just stuck with mom and dad, you're always stuck at their level. Yeah, you teach your kids to be stuck at your level. Because see, and what's bad about it, once they leave you and they go out on their own, they don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up having to send them money every once in a while to keep them going. Because they can't make it.
Great preaching.
We never had to do that with our daughters. We didn't have to do that with our daughters. We taught them the blessing of God. God blessing you. And they walked in it. We have to turn around. They didn't become a burden in life. They aren't 30 years old living at home. You're 30 years living in my house? Hey, for $5,000 a month, you can live there. I'm practical. I know how to get rid of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I want to thank you. Lord, you have me minister this because you're going to take these folks further. I thank you there's things that, Lord God, that you showed them today for themselves. Lord, parts of it may have spoken to one person and part to another, or certain things that you're speaking to them at the time. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. He's great. He can make all this thing work. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I thank you're bearing witness, Lord God. Father, I pray that they receive this thing with great joy. Hallelujah. To see, Lord God, that you have so much more for them. Hallelujah. That you want their job and lives even richer than it's ever been. Hallelujah. That spirit, soul, and body, Lord God, they just prosper in every way. Hallelujah. Not in just some ways. That, Lord God, that they have a life that people look at and say, I want that kind of life. I want that life that has peace and joy in it. I want that life. They don't deal with things and problems like we do. Lord God, they don't lose their joy. They don't get all upset about everything. Hallelujah. Father God, when they look and say, wow, I want a life like that. I want a life that's above and not beneath. Hallelujah. And Father God, I want to thank you. You want to put money in hands. Father, I want to thank you for these folks here, Lord God, because they're wonderful people and they love to follow your word.
Amen.
They love to do it. Lord God, when they hear, they want to do. And I just want to thank you, Lord God, Father, that you show them and direct them specifically, each one, Lord, in the path that will help them take to the future that they desire, the place that they can walk at this time. Lord God, revealing to them, Lord God, Lord, that in no way they come under bondage about giving. Lord God, that it's, when they think of giving, it's a smile on their face and it's a blessing. And Lord God, and Lord God, that you're not trying to take anything from them. Lord God, you're the great giver.
Hallelujah.
The wonderful giver that pours blessing out on your people. Hallelujah. Lord God, that you're going to uphold them no matter what. Lord, if they trip and fall, you're able to pick them up and make them stand. Hallelujah. You're the God. Hallelujah. You're our strength, Lord God. And I thank you for it today. Father, we're closing here. We're taking an offering for missionaries. And Lord God, I'm just so thankful to be able to help others in ministry. Lord God, I'm just so glad we can do that. Father, I do appreciate the fact of other people who have obeyed you and walked in it. And Father, we get to be partakers of them in their ministry. Lord, it's through our giving, and they do need financial aid. Hallelujah. Lord God, they need to be able to pay for their, how their living is and whatever it is, the stuff. Lord God, I want them to have more than enough. I want them to be blessed like you blessed me. I want them, Lord God, to be able to overcome. Hallelujah. Father God, that they have victory there. And Lord God, I want their lives, that when the people they minister to see them, say, well, praise God. Hallelujah. They got something we want. They got a God that we want to serve. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father, for it. So as we give today, Father, I do it with great joy. Hallelujah. So glad we can do it. And Father God, we don't ever have to worry. Never have to have any kind of anxiety about worry, because you're the God that supplies all of our need according to your riches and glory. Lord God, we'll always have enough to give, and Lord God, always enough left over for a blessed life of our own. So we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. The God who's more than enough is our daddy. Hallelujah. The God that's more than enough has put more than enough into our hands. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.